Ladies and gentlemen, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Good evening and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Folks, we have a great show lined up for you tonight. If you want to find out more about our show, new to the broadcast, go to HagmanReport.com, as well as HagmanAndHagman.com. HagmanAndHagman.com has all the information, show information, as far as guests, who's coming on, and when they're coming on, and what we're going to be getting into. And HagmanReport.com also has the guest information, as well as news of the day, investigative reports, and a whole bunch of other content as we are continuing to work on that and to bring you as much as we possibly can. We got a fantastic show lined up for you tonight. In the first hour, we're going to be joined by Alex Wilson from Precious Timber. He's also going to have his business partner on, and John Robertson's going to come on with us in this first hour to talk with Alex about a number of different things. And then in hours 2 and 3, we have a returning guest, Debbie Bacigalupi. She is the senior editor at Technocracy News. Patrick Wood, he's the author of Technocracy Rising. She works with him, but she's going to be coming on to talk about the United Nations Agenda 2030. She's an expert on this issue, and she's going to be discussing the internal and political agenda behind what the United Nations has been doing in furthering their objective for Agenda 21, transitioning it to Agenda 2030, and how that is affecting us not only globally, not only nationally, but most importantly, locally. There's a lot of things that have been going on behind the scenes and also in our faces, and we're going to speak with Debbie about what we can expect with some of the changes we've seen with the Trump administration from, you know, climate change and global warming, and how that lines up with what the United Nations is doing. So it's going to be a fantastic show, and we're going to get started. As I want to say a quick thanks to John Robertson, as well as Todd from Global Star Radio Network. Folks, if you there's a number of different ways you can listen to us. We're audio only tonight and tomorrow night, but you can go to Global Star Radio Network. You can watch us live on our archive on both YouTube and on Blog Talk Radio, and the podcast goes out to all the different podcast outlets such as iTunes. And without further ado, we have our guest with us. John, I'm going to bring you on first, and then we'll bring on Alex and his business partner. Welcome, John.
Oh, well, Joe, thank you so much, and I just want to say greetings and God's blessings to all of the Hagman listeners this evening on a fine Thursday. And, you know, Joe, I'm excited about this hour. I had the opportunity to speak with Alex Wilson earlier today, and there's so many aspects that I want the folks who hear us over the next hour to consider. And I know, Joe, that you and I have discussed some of these things in the past as well. So I'm just going to take a quick moment to say a few words, and then we'll bring Alex and his partner, Ken Ross, in. First of all, folks, it's a great blessing to be joined by Alex and Ken this evening, because over the next hour, you'll be hearing from the Northern Olympic Peninsula of Washington, Northwest Pennsylvania, California, and Nicaragua. Ken has been kind enough to join us from several thousand miles away, so it's a truly international hour here on the Hagman Report. And folks, the reason I wanted to be part of this conversation here in hour one this evening is because, you know, a couple weeks ago I turned 45 years old, and, you know, all of the years in Hollywood from age 28 to age 44, they just flew by so quickly. And there's many things that the people who work in television and film production have in common. Probably the greatest is that we're just severely overworked. We work minimum 60 hours a week, often 70, very early mornings that drift into some pretty late evenings. So it's a full commitment type of occupation. conundrum, folks, the part that kills us all down in the TV production, film production world, is that it is truly a hamster wheel, and you can run as fast as you can, but you will never break free of the wheel, especially in a state like California, but also, Joe, in the area that you're in, you know. And what I mean by that, folks, is I was blessed to make a pretty decent living throughout my years in Hollywood. And yet, you know, I would say, I'm going to be completely transparent here, I would save $10,000, $15,000, and then there would be a couple months with no show. And before I knew it, Joe and Hagman listeners, I'd be $2,000, $3,000 in the hole. And it's just like starting over again and again and again. And the only thing that changes is you look a little bit older in the mirror and you've had another birthday go by. And that's about it. And what is the number one American dream, folks? And it has been this way for many generations now. It's simple, but it's not easy. And it's just to own a little piece of something for yourself and for your family. You know, just a place to hang your hat that's yours, so you feel like you're making progress every day. And Joe, as you and I discussed earlier, folks, even making reasonably good Hollywood money, the only people in LA in production work that could really afford to purchase a home were people either in the highest echelon of the earning spectrum, camera operators and above, or people where both the mother and father are working and it's a dual income home, and of course then the kids suffer. So I wanted to be part of this conversation tonight because I wanted to give the Hagman listeners a new perspective and maybe even some hope that there are still opportunities out there where you can do something for yourself and for your family, and it's really not very expensive. That was part of it. The other part of it that I'm really excited about, folks, those of you that have been with the show a long time, you remember Doug and Joe and I talking back in 2012, 2013 about adopting a preparedness mindset. There's all different problems in the world, and we don't know exactly what's coming, but most of us around the Hagman campfire agree that there is a mathematical certainty that we have an economic reset coming our way. And our guest this evening, Alex Wilson and his partner Ken Ross, again checking in from Nicaragua, they're going to speak to exactly that. And that being said, Alex, are you with us, sir?
Hey, good evening, John. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing very well. Alex, thank you so much for spending some time with us this evening. And Ken Ross, are you with us?
Yes, John, I am. Thank you for your time.
Oh, well, thank you for your time as well, and I'm thrilled to take some time here to speak with both of you gentlemen. Alex, what I'd like to do is hand it to you. Why don't you take a moment, introduce yourself and your business ventures to those of our listeners who are not familiar with who you are, and if you would also be so kind, Alex, as to give us an introduction on Ken as well.
Absolutely, John. Well, it's a pleasure again, and I do appreciate the opportunity, support that we give to the Hagman & Hagman platform. Of course, the Daily Show, too, has been tremendous for us. I've been a listener now for quite some time. Through a client of ours actually said, hey, you should listen to these guys. They have some good topics and good stories, and you probably might even find yourself a new bunch of friends, which we have done. So that's been it's been tremendous. I've met Ken Ross all the way back in 1986 when I came to the U.S. and decided to call this place home. I was one of those it's funny how your story there, John, is mirrored mine. Growing up in the UK, through the 60s, it was getting tougher and tougher. Of course, we lost the world's reserve currency status after the UK did what America has been doing here for the past two, three, four decades. We kind of overspent. We were in debt up to our eyeballs. We printed a lot of pound sterling, and by the early 60s, we just couldn't sustain it anymore. Massive strikes, massive upheaval, a devaluation of our currency. And then the 70s, all the way through the 60s and well into the 70s, we had what's now gone down as a decade of discontent. And I grew up in that, and it was tough. I mean, you know, my dad had to end up doing two shifts a day, two eight-hour shifts a day. So I ended up putting a backpack on and getting out of the UK and wanted to travel to try to find greener pastures. I traveled for 9 years. I saw a lot of the world, saw 72 countries. And I ended up in the U.S. In the mid-1980s and came here with a goal. Obviously, America, you know, you hear all around the world, it's the land of opportunity. And so it was my opportunity. While I only had $40 in my pocket when I arrived, I was feverently passionate to start a business, to get going. And like you, you know, for quite some time, my money wasn't going very far. I certainly couldn't afford to own a house. But eventually I broke away from that and was able to get onto that sort of rat race, if you will, and that hamster circle and that hamster wheel, and got myself a mortgage, and you know, it made the American dream. And unfortunately, I felt I was getting further and further behind as prices of everything were continuing to increase. Long story short, I had this dream one day that I would love to own an oceanfront piece of property, something on the sand. And of course, for those that have ever been to Southern California, will know that that's not affordable real estate. It's exceptionally high priced. And in 1999, I'm reading an article in a international living publication that was talking about Central America and Costa Rica and Panama and Belize and Nicaragua. And I knew I had this friend who had surfed all around the world. And he worked hard. He had a small construction firm. He was a one-man show and did a lot of hardscape and patio remodels and things like that. But he always seemed to be able to take a vacation, save his pennies, and tuck himself around the world surfing. And, of course, I'm talking about Ken. So I called him and asked him if he'd ever surfed Central America. He said many times. I said, how about Nicaragua? This is 1999. And he said, absolutely, I've surfed Nicaragua. I surfed it in 1993. I asked him what it was like. He said, one of my favorite places. I said, how about Costa Rica? He said, well, I have a sore taste in my mouth about Costa Rica. I had the chance to buy a nice property for $10,000 in the 80s. Of course, now, in 1999, he said that $10,000 lot's worth about $150,000. So a year or so went by, and I kept on reading about this place. And in early 2001, Ken and I decided, you know what? Maybe we should go and take a look at Nicaragua. So we jumped on a plane. We shot down there. And, of course, it was exactly as Ken had said it was, stunningly beautiful. The one thing that was surprising to me, however, was how warm and friendly the Nicaraguans are towards Americans. Shook your hand, thanked you, tapped you on the back. You guys helped us become a free country. We were shackled by a dictator for so long. Then we had the revolution in the 70s and the 80s, and now we're free and we're growing. And so Ken and I...
if I can jump in here, Alex, just real quick. For people who might not be aware, you know, around the world, the anti-American sentiment is at an all-time high from, you know, the warmongering and the nation destabilization that we've been involved in. And there's a very low opinion of Americans in many parts of the world. So what you're talking about is actually, it's rare and it's a blessing because... you know, there's not too many countries, let alone populations out there, that are neutral towards Americans or America. And to have a nation that is very accepting and appreciates Americans, that's something that we shouldn't take for granted. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, you're right. It's 100%, and I'm going to bring Ken in now because Ken moved there permanently. I mean, I go there many, many, many times a year. Of course, we have our business there. We're in heavily invested into timber and agriculture, and we have a sizable team that works with us. But Ken permanently moved to Nicaragua. He's an American. And why don't you share, Ken, your experience for the past 15-plus years living there?
Okay, I will. Thank you, Alex, and thank you, John. Well, Alex kind of summed it up very good. He knows me very well. He is my best friend, and I've known Alex since 1986. And I guess as long as I can remember, being 16 or 17 years old, surfing had kind of became an addiction to me, and it created me the opportunity and the motivation and the drive to travel. And surfers always look for a couple of things. Number one, not a lot of people in the water, and warm water. So my travels to Mexico and Costa Rica, Panama, and luckily, I had seen an article about a show that was going to be on TV in 1993, a half-hour show on ESPN, and I watched it, and it explained about the surfing in Nicaragua. I would have honestly maybe passed on that because I was in the military in the late 70s, and so I'm very familiar with the revolution, and it wasn't good in Nicaragua, but it needed to be done to get them to where they eventually were able to get to in 1989, of having free elections, having the democratic society, having the opportunity to vote for the president for the first time. So thank God that I got a chance to see that program and get a chance to go to Nicaragua in 1993. And when Alex and I finally got a chance to go there and have the opportunity to be exposed to the prices on land, as Alex would say, along the coast, on the ocean front, it was a blessing. It was just something that it came to a point that we were in a country that was extremely poor, but they had endless amount of very God-based helpful missions coming down from the United States, flying in and helping in different areas. And that set up the culture down there being very friendly towards the Americans, because they seen plane load after plane load of people coming down, helping build the churches, helping building schools, helping dig wells, helping people learn how to sustain themselves on the soil through more effective planting of products and produce. I was completely overwhelmed with the opportunity to be able to live there. It was what I've wanted to do my whole life, to be in a friendly society and to be in business with Alex, and we've done extremely well because we knew going into this deal that we had an opportunity to do something we were not able to do in the United States. There was no way in the world could we have been able to be blessed with employing the number of employees that we've had come on board with us over the years, and that was a great opportunity. And because you become a person known as providing jobs and helping families thrive, they bring very good people to you. And so our business was able to expand rather seamlessly. And we were smart enough to know that the best thing to do is hire the correct lawyers. And then I got introduced to the U.S. Embassy, and I had been volunteering with the embassy for the last 11 years, just on a volunteer basis to help out the ever-growing expat community that's heading that way. And because of how safe Nicaragua is and the fact that we do have the services provided by the embassy, it's become a very easy place for people to make that move. The only thing that I see is a little bit of a disadvantage is it's become so easy to make that move that a lot of folks head that way without taking into consideration that perhaps they should learn just a little bit of Spanish first. But besides that, I couldn't be more happy with the whole situation. And I'm 61 years old. I started surfing at 14 years. I was 14 years old when I started surfing, and I'm 61. And I still surf. I don't think I would have done that living in Southern California. I think the cold water, the need of a wetsuit, the crowd in the water would have demotivated me. But because of
I'll tell you what, Ken, another thing, having just relocated out of Southern California, that water's none too clean these days either. There's a lot of unique urban densities floating around the surfers in Malibu. Gentlemen, let me do this, if I may. And Ken, thank you so much for introducing yourself to our listeners. And I just want to sort of frame this up a little bit, and then Alex, I'll hand it back to you. And it sounds like a good place for us to start. Let's talk a little bit about how two guys, folks, you just heard, Alex was out of the UK, the economy was bad, the late 60s and early 70s in the pre-Thatcher era, England was a very difficult time, lots of people on the dole, really a flatlined economy and just a sense of hopelessness. So we have Alex Wilson who straps on a backpack and essentially becomes a world traveler, almost a world vagabond, if you will. And Ken, who just wanted to surf. And now, a few decades later, we've got these two gentlemen who are kind enough to share time with us this evening telling you folks that they've not only created a vibrant and viable business in Nicaragua, but multiple vibrant businesses in Nicaragua. And it's a win-win because they've been able to bring joy and sustenance into lots of the locals' lives down there. So, gentlemen, let's do this. I just want to remind the younger listeners. I'm talking right now to the people, let's say the older millennials and the younger Gen Xers, age what? Let's call it 30 to 50, okay? So hear me out, folks. What we're looking at economically, and Alex, I'll pass it back to you. I thought maybe we could talk a little bit about the economic picture, and then maybe, Ken, you'd like to touch quickly on the political scene. And then we'll look a little bit at the culture and some of the preparedness-minded aspects of this. But, folks, consider this, okay? Looking back at the economic picture in the United States over the past 75, 80 years, we had the stock market crash of 1929. Bottom line was people were buying stock on margin, they were making money hand over fist, but they were doing so on credit. That bubble burst, and we had this horrible decade known as the Great Depression. Moving forward, 2001, the tech bubble. Basically, folks, anything in 1999, 2000 with a .com attached to it was a moneymaker for a very short time. I was actually in San Francisco at that time and saw this firsthand. Again, moving forward, 2008, 2009, what happened? The housing crisis. And again, I had a front row seat to that, Alex, Ken, and Joe, because I was selling advertising at KKLA, the big Christian talker in Los Angeles. And I'm telling you, gentlemen, 75% of our clientele were either doing mortgage refis or what I called equity-driven purchases, skylights, flagstone, that type of stuff. And overnight, when that housing market bubble burst, we flatlined, we lost almost all of our advertisers, and we frankly lost a lot of great salespeople from our team because there was just no more money. What I want to submit to the listeners tonight, and Alex, I'll hand it back to you, sir. Folks, whether you've heard it from Doug and Joe, from Greg Hunter, Gregory Manorino, Stephen Menking, Joseph P. Meyer, all of the economic guys we bring on program agree on one thing. There is a dollar bubble, and when that dollar bubble bursts, and this is coming soon, folks, it is going to be the biggest explosion of a quote-unquote bubble in history, in the history of humanity. It's going to be a game changer across the entire globe. And Alex, I was not only enthusiastic about the stuff you were saying earlier this morning, but I actually felt very optimistic after our conversation that, hey, guess what? We don't have to be resigned to just grabbing some food buckets and a deer rifle and hoping for the best as the United States crumbles. There's actually a possibility for people who are so inclined with a little adventurous spirit to perhaps do something else. So with the understanding, gentlemen, that we do have an economic reset coming, we don't know exactly how it's going to play out, but we all agree that there's something around the corner that's going to hurt the average American and hurt them bad. So with that understanding, Alex, how does Nicaragua tie into this? What can a young family, two-income family, they've got a few bucks, but they're almost check to check. What can we offer these folks?
Well, thanks to shows like the Hagman and Hagman Show, the population is able to get the real truth, and the real truth, unfortunately, is the U.S. is in big trouble from a financial point of view. I'm not going to go into all of the numbers. I've done that, I think, before on this show. But anyone that's awake and alert and taking notice, America's in trouble. Now, Now, on the other side of the coin, something amazing is going on in Nicaragua. Truly amazing. Just think, Ken, in the last 15, 16, 17 years that we've been down there, we see Nicaragua have now become, according to the World Bank and the IMF, the safest Latin American country on earth, a country that protects its borders, a country that has a rule of law approach where safety comes first for not just the citizens, but for everyone in the country. But you don't get in the country unless you're of benefit to the country. Think about Nicaragua 17 years ago, Ken, when they were a net importer of every single kilowatt of power that they used. And today, they'll be able to say in a couple of years' time that they're the first nation on earth to be 100% energy independent. They create clean electricity, clean energy from windmills and from geothermal plants, from a variety of other sources, solar, of course, too. How about a country that was deeply in debt to the World Bank and to other nations?
Alex, we're running right up against the break. When we come back, we'll pick up right here where we left off. Folks, we're talking with Alex Wilson and John Robertson from Precious Timber. And we're talking not only about what Alex offers through Precious Timber, but also what's going on in Nicaragua, the state of our country, our economy, and much more. We're going to pick up right where we left off on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced. Blue Week Reviews boldly states, fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Parada's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Thank you.
welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Right now we're joined with John Robertson and Alex Wilson from PreciousTimber.com. Folks, go to PreciousTimber.com and check out all the content that they have on their website, from audios to videos, photos, and a number of other resources and information. Alex, before the break, we were talking about basically the destabilization of the United States from economically, socially. Here we have, you know, all this division, and this divide continues to build. The gap between the rich and the poor continues to build. The wages are stagnant, yet the prices of everything continue to go up. Why don't you pick up right where you left off before the break?
Well, as I was saying, Joe, you know, America's in trouble. Nicaragua's on the other side of things. I want to ask our listeners tonight to picture this. Picture being 23, 38, 42, 55, but in 1910, when the economy was booming, when the Industrial Revolution was roaring away, that's Nicaragua today. The opportunity in Nicaragua is unprecedented. It's not a nation that's overdeveloped with infrastructure breaking down. It's a nation that's underdeveloped with new infrastructure appearing all the time. So the opportunity is outrageously attractive. Now, when you add to that equation the fact that real estate is fee simple, meaning it's ownable, you can own it as an individual, as a foreign individual, a foreign corporation, a local Nicaraguan. They look at land ownership exactly the way the U.S. does. It's in your name. But instead of it being 20 times the price of an automobile to find a nice place by the ocean, or like where John and I are in California, where it's maybe 1,000 times the price of an automobile, Nicaragua's land costs are less than the price of a nice automobile today. And that's one of the things that Ken and I decided earlier this week to make sure that we made available to the Hagman audience. Something very, very special. There's a beautiful, idyllic place in the northern part of this coastline that we enjoy every day. The area is called Papoyo. It's a very famous place for surfers. Why Ken ended up, if you will. And it's a place that in the future, right now it's a little remote. It's a little unknown. Obviously the surfers know it. In fact, it's the location in the country that's probably most known for surfing. International surf competitions occur there. But for real estate purchase, you want to buy real estate before it becomes popular. In fact, I have a little saying about this one location. Don't wait to buy property in the Papoyo area. Buy property in the Papoyo area and wait. And so we'll talk about that a little more, I'm sure, John, but we're going to make an offer tonight strictly limited to the Hagman audience. But maybe before we end up on this segment, maybe we can have Ken talk about, because I know that's a big question for you, John, is the political stability of Nicaragua.
Well, I know that when Alex and I first came here, we were very smart with the fact that we sat down and talked to people that kind of walked before us. I had a friend that I've known for many years, and he moved to Nicaragua in 1996. And so we had the advantage of being told, you know, maybe a couple of tips. And one of the tips that we were told is to not try to tell Nicaragua how to run their country, or how to, maybe you should change your law to do this, because that's what I'm used to up in the United States. So Alex and I were very well versed on the fact that we don't make real solid opinions in what we think about the political structure. And thankfully, we did take that approach, because it was a little tough in the very beginning to see them get everything squared away, to the point that the amount of people that now vote for the current president was 70%. So it's quite obvious that the people have decided on exactly what they feel comfortable with and what they're happy with. So now you're dealing with the society or a culture that you don't have something that basically we have in the United States. I'm very sheltered to the infighting with the political structure in the United States between this side and that side, and they're yelling at them. What I am exposed to is a society that 70% of the population voted for the current president. So there's some more happy people. There's not a lot of that, well, they should do this and we should do that. So as far as the political structure, I do know that we have a current administration that is extremely open-armed to the international investment community coming in and creating hundreds and thousands of jobs. I do know that he's very well aware of the help that he needs in the area that Alex was speaking about on being very eco-friendly on the way that they produce their electricity. The fact that the Canadian company that's in here doing the geothermal field and the Denmark company that's in here doing the windmills and the solar panels are an international-based company. That has been very successful to have outside help come in that has done it before and show this growing government and this growing society and the growing culture how to do it without making the mistakes that they had to go through. So they're getting plenty of help. And a lot of these countries that come in and do this international investing and help from the political side and help in the way that things are here, it's great to see the country accept that and be happy. So as far as the political things, the way that things are doing politically, I'm completely good with it. I have a lot of communication with the ambassador in Managua, and I know that she deals with the president directly, and she's extremely pleased and has a positive attitude. Of course, we would like to see things run a little bit different being from America, but we're not in America. We're in Nicaragua. And Nicaragua's
doing
great right
now. How about the women's rights, Ken?
Well, that's one of the... Thank you, Alex, for bringing that up, because that is something that's very important. I know the president's wife had made it a goal of hers to have at least 50% of the mayors voted in last year in the mayorships throughout Nicaragua to be female. Now, she didn't have to do anything to create the votes, other than to put the correct people to run that the individual towns liked that person and voted for them. And she got 51% female wins across the board on mayorship, which is a big thing. And
And don't forget, Ken, that the World Women's Rights Report just came out, and the women's rights in the U.S. made it to number 48. The U.S. is the 48th best place for women's rights, and Nicaragua, Ken, is number... You remember?
I'm not sure.
10th
Alex,
in the world.
Tell us the number, sir.
Nicaragua's 10th.
Gentlemen,
if I may, I want to just interject quickly just for some quick housekeeping, and it's just a shame that this hour is flying by so quickly. Folks, I want to reiterate, as you listen to Alex Wilson and to his partner Ken Ross speak with us here this evening, Ken just indicated in a very humble manner that in his position at the embassy in Managua, he is only a degree separated from the office of the president of the country. Now, the reason I want to reiterate that point is because you have the insight here this evening, folks, that you're really, it's just one of the things that makes the Hagman Report so cool, is that we're giving you good, fresh data that's germane to the political climate in Nicaragua. Because, gentlemen, I think that a mistake a lot of Americans make, and I know I made this for many years growing up in the 70s and 80s, is just the memory of all of the difficulties that Nicaragua had. And what I'd like to do quickly is I'm going to drop a couple of resources for our listeners, and then, Alex, I'm going to ask you to touch on something that I'm sure a lot of men and women listening right now would love to hear, and that's how easy it is and how user-friendly it is to not only get a business going in Nicaragua, but imagine this, Hagman listeners. They actually want people down there starting businesses. The name of their game is not to throw miles and miles of red tape at you. They understand that when an Alex Wilson or a Ken Ross or a J.D. Hopwood comes down to Nicaragua, that they are there to help develop the country, to bring our multi-generations of know-how from the United States and from the U.K., etc., to build their country and make it a truly world-class kind of first-world status. And that being said, we put together some great resources for all of our Hagman listeners to check out. And I would just encourage you folks, have fun with this weekend. If you go to HagmanReport.com, in the show notes this evening, there are a lot of links that will take you directly to Alex. His email is linked in there at PreciousTimber.com. The write-up for tonight at Hagman Report is a one-stop shop to connect directly with Alex, but we'll do you even one better. And we'll give this number out a couple of times before the hour concludes. Folks, Alex has set up a toll-free number, and if you pick up the phone and give Alex a call between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Pacific, which is great because that's 3 hours behind all of our listeners on the East Coast, so you don't have to get up at some ungodly hour. But take down this number, folks, 855-888-6288. And that number again, and we'll give it before we wrap up the hour, 855-888-6288. And lastly, also at HagmanReport.com, Alex was kind enough to send over a really good article from, I believe it's Real Estate Biz. I was able to repost that just before we went to air. And it's just a great little quick thumbnail sketch of what's going on down in Nicaragua, etc. And that being said, Alex, what I'd like to do is hand it back to you. Let's talk about the business opportunities, some of these really cool tax breaks that they offer. I mean, what I took away from our conversation, and really the last several conversations we've had, is that a guy like me, who can put together maybe $10,000, $20,000, but $100,000 is just a really, really high bar to set, that guys like me maybe have a chance. If you have the guts and the adventuresome spirit to get down there, is it not the case, Alex, that, you know, with a modest amount of money, I could actually get down there and get a piece of land developed and start up a business and maybe not even get bled white on taxes for the first few years out?
Well, obviously, it's a part of the world where they're encouraging entrepreneurs, they're encouraging businesses to come into the country. It's almost like a covered wagon kind of a time, just like when people from the East Coast of the U.S. Made it across to the West Coast, and those that came first and took the chance and maybe got stood outside of the box, they were the ones that were rewarded the most. That's what's happening in Nicaragua. While most Americans are still living in the 70s and 80s and thinking that it's the revolution is still on, they're missing the boat. That's why we wanted to bring this message to the Hagman audience, because it is timely. The time to get to Nicaragua is now. It's growing fast. Less than 60,000 people visited the country when Ken and I first went there. Over 1.5 million people visited last year, so it's moving. And of course, whether it's a job you're looking for, whether it's a business that you want to start, as soon as you get off the plane, you're going to just look around, and within 5 minutes, you're going to see 25 opportunities where something that an entrepreneur can think of, you can start and you can succeed at. But the key, of course, is, you know, I mean, it's a finite commodity, and that's real estate. And there's 7 billion people on the planet right now, John. There's going to be 9, and there's going to be 11 one day. And owning dirt all across the world, whether it's dirt for you to live on, whether it's dirt for you to work upon, whether it's dirt for you to enjoy, there's just not much of it. And so, yes, to your point and to your question, it's a relatively easy place to start a business. It's a very safe place to start a business. They're not too punitive when it comes to having this, that, and the other regulation and law and procedure. Obviously, you know, you have to do it inside of the parameters of their law, but they're anxious for you to start and anxious for you to get going. And whether you're going to be working for yourself or working for someone else, or even the entrepreneur that wants to employ a whole bunch of people like we have done, It's a blessing, and it's a passion that we share. One of the things that we want to make sure that everyone here tonight understands is that we're doing something unprecedented tonight, Ken and I. We have some property in the Popoyo area that we were fortunate enough to secure at an incredible price point. Beautiful half acre plots, less than one half a mile away from the Pacific Ocean, 82 degree Pacific Ocean, where tremendous fishing, tremendous surfing, and other things are going on. And normally, plots in that region can run anywhere from $50,000 a plot all the way up to, I've seen them as high as $75,000. Whereas exactly the same property, just 1 hour south in Costa Rica, is 3 and 5 times higher, $150,000, $250,000, $500,000 a piece of property like that. So, listen, I'm not saying don't go to Costa Rica. What I'm saying is, for those people listening that are concerned about America, concerned about the value of property getting plummeted again like it did in 2008, those that are concerned about their retirement, those that have 401ks or IRAs, and they're looking for that next location that can help them propel multiple times growth so that they can have some security financially, take a look. Go to bugoutnicaragua.com. That's bugoutnicaragua.com. Tonight we're going to make an offer. Instead of our normal $49,000 price point on these half acres, strictly for Hagman listeners, 100% for Hagman listeners, there's two offers tonight, John. One is 6 lots. We're limiting this to only 6. 6 lots, the first 6 plots. That are cash purchases, instead of them being $49,000, we're giving a Hagman listener a $14,000 discount. So instead of it being a $49,000 plot, it's a $35,000 plot. And then Ken asked me today, he said, you know, not everyone can afford to pay cash, Alex. And the reason he said that is when he came down with me, he was in a position where he couldn't pay cash. Ken will tell you the story when you meet him. So Ken asked if I would agree, and I have agreed, that we're going to add 6 more to that, 6 more plots. But this time it's for the person that can't afford to pay cash. And so instead of it being $35,000, which is the $14,000 off the $49,000 price, it's a $10,000 discount. So a plot would be $39,000 with 50% down, and thanks to Ken Ross, 50% financed over 24 months, zero interest. So, folks, if you're interested, John gave the number. It's 855-888-6288. Or better yet, jump on the website, bugoutnicaragua.com. Over to you, John.
Wow, you know, Alex, thank you so much for laying out the numbers. And folks, of course, first of all, when you read this on paper, when you see it in black and white, simply go to HagmanReport.com. The deal that Alex just mapped out is listed very specifically, very succinctly in the show notes. And what it really boils down to is this. It's not a ton of money. Where else can you buy beachfront property? There's gorgeous pictures in the show notes tonight as well, folks, where it's something that we can swing. If you can buy a car, a modest car in this country, a Hyundai or a Kia, you can actually realistically look at a whole new adventure in your life. And I want to make 2 points, Alex, and I'll hand it back to you. We've got about 5 more minutes, maybe 6 tops until we go out this hour. So I'm going to make 2 quick points, and Alex, I'll let you take us out, sir, along with Joe and Ken. Folks, what Ken said a few minutes ago about the energy independence in Nicaragua is huge. Last week we had the senior editor of the SRS Rocco Report, Steve Sangelo, joined us, and he mapped out very clearly that a country's entire financial picture starts with energy, period. Now, I don't want to go down a rabbit trail, but if you missed that last week, it was last Thursday night, you definitely want to hear that hour on Hagmann Report. It's crucial to understand that this is, like Alex said, it's like 1910 America. It's business friendly. You can actually do something and get off the hamster wheel and look at a country where there's clean energy and energy independence right around the corner. And Alex, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you in your concluding remarks tonight, sir, if you could touch a little bit on the whole Spanish-English thing. I'm sure a lot of people are thinking, oh, man, I can't learn a new language. That'd be just too much, and so on and so forth. So, Alex, tell us a little more about the culture and how easy it is to get along down there in English. And also, please don't forget to mention that Team Hagmann, we are putting boots on the ground in Nicaragua. J.D., has already been working with you to develop his game plan. I'm taking a good hard look at this Nicaragua option myself, folks. So your friends, the people who make this show happen Monday through Friday, we're behind this. we're not just talking about it. Anyway, Alex, I'll hand it to you, and I'll make that my concluding remarks for this evening, and then Joe can take us out.
Well, as I said earlier, and I believe this is the key for the show tonight, something amazing is going on in Nicaragua. And fortunately, you got to hear about it tonight. With regards to the Spanish-English, I have Spanglish. I have a little bit of Spanish and a lot of English. But fortunately, 97% of the population in Nicaragua is educated today. They have a tremendously well-educated population. The kids go to school, they learn English. So if you're talking to someone that's probably 40 years of age or younger, they're probably going to talk to you in your native tongue. They're going to talk to you in English. If you're talking to someone maybe in their 50s and above and they didn't have the opportunity before the revolution to go to school, maybe they want you to speak some Spanish. But, you know, you get along fine. There's somebody close by. But most people that I run into speak perfect English. You'll be using your own dollar bill. That's what they use. They have their own currency, but everybody uses the dollar. And I'm going to leave this to Ken because Ken knows better than I. What's the affordability status between Nicaragua with regards to your monthly expenses compared to what you used to spend up here in the U.S.?
You know, I get asked that quite a bit because I deal with the expat community, and they say, Ken, tell me honestly, I'm coming down, I'm on a limited budget. In fact, this is what I get for the rest of my life. And honestly, if a person has anywhere about $1,100 or $1,200, $1,300 a month coming in permanently, they can do extremely well and live a really, really super good life, walking on the beach, enjoying the sun, having a great apartment, maybe not so much affording a brand new car or something like that, but a lot of the communities up and down the coast of Nicaragua are on the ocean, and people stay within the community. You walk around, you go on the beach, you eat with the friends you've met down there. So about $1,200 a month, and you do just fine in Nicaragua.
Gentlemen, this has been a lot of fun. I think what we've established tonight is two things. America, we wish you well. I know you're sick. You need a doctor like never before. But the bottom line is there's going to be a reset. And when this reset comes, it's most likely going to be worse than 2008 and most likely closer to 1929. That took a long time for things to get back. Some people will heed the message. They'll get prepared. Some people will take an extra step and try and find Plan B. And some people will do what Ken Ross did and said, I love America. I just don't want to stay there anymore. I want a simpler, more friendly society to live in. I want a place where I can do the things that I want to do on my time. And one of the things that I remember from a Texan that we introduced to the country, and he said it with his Texas accent, which, by the way, I cannot do, but he said, I have to come all the way to Nicaragua to find out what real, true freedom really means. So it's been a pleasure, Joe. Thanks again, and John, for your time with us tonight. And I'm going to it back to you and let you conclude the show.
Alex, Doug Hagman here. I just want to say thank you for your time, man. I'll tell you what an informative session. I see didn't think I was here. Hiding
and
in the back.
One more time for Alex's number. Folks, you can call 855-888-6288. That is 855-888-6288. Fantastic job, gentlemen, and thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to come on and talk to our audience about what's going on and some of the benefits that people can take advantage of and opportunities that are ongoing in Nicaragua. Thank you guys so much.
Thanks so much, and I tell you one last thing. There's no one better to meet when you go to the country than Ken Ross. He's an ambassador for the country, and he tells you when you go, it'll be right on the money, and he'll take care of you.
Thank you, Alex.
Awesome.
Thanks.
PreciousTimber.com. Again, that's PreciousTimber.com. And, yeah, thank you, Alex, and thank you, Ken, and John. Thank you so much for, pretty much handling the interview. When we come back, Debbie Bacigalupi will be with us to talk about the Agenda 2030, the United Nations revamped Agenda 21, and where this is going and what it means for us, globally, nationally, and most importantly, locally. Stay with us.
Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the GMAG Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right? You need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bing, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super GMAG Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, yeah, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com. Folks, in these uncertain times, it just makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of life's most important tasks, and that's preparing food. This is the way to go. There is nothing better than a Minuteman rocket stove from MinutemanStove.com. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water. I mean, think about it. Think about the many things that could happen to you. A Minuteman rocket stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. It's small, smokeless, and fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because it's so efficient, it cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores to a tenth what would be required if cooking the old-fashioned way over an open fire. So don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Prepare your family. Prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman rocket stove today. It's going to make bad times much better. Folks, MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. Need I say more?
You should have a Minuteman, the survival stove in an ammo can.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com, PreciousTimberProfits.com.